Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With Siyata Dishmaya, where Zoyche, we merit beginning Maseches Nedarim. The word Nedarim itself would mean vows. We are dealing with an area where speech is of utmost importance. The realm of speech and obligation that one binds himself by includes Nedarim. There's another expression, Nedavos. Those are, we can call them pledges of specific items. Nazir, that entails the Nazirite vow, where one abstains through the Nazirus, through the Nazirite vow, abstains from vine, grapevine-related products and other restrictions that he must observe. And there's another realm called Shvuos, oaths. These are all, as we said before, obligations that one binds himself to through speech. The Rambam categorizes these in Sefer Haflah. Haflah, ish ki afli neder, this is an expression in the Torah, has to do with speech. Actually, it refers to well-defined speech, and that a person is thereby bound. There are psukim in the Torah that we'll encounter as we go through the Masichta, including lo yachel devaro, one shall not violate or profane his words. That means if he obligates himself, he must keep to his pledge. As whatever comes out of his mouth, he must do. The basis of Nedarim, the origin or the authentic neder, is within the realm of sacrifices, where a person obligates himself to bring a specific type of sacrifice. We're going to have to, we'll say, adopt a new mode of thinking as we go through this Masichta and the following Masichta, Mirtz Hashem as well, Maseches Nozir, where terms are presented in the Gemara that don't necessarily lend themselves to specific translation, to exact translation, but rather one has to appreciate the words as being words that obligate one. Many examples of those will follow in the Gemara, so that if you notice as we go through the Dapim that we're using words and not necessarily translating them, but rather communicating the gist of the idea, you have to understand that we're dealing with terms that may have fallen to disuse since the times of the Gemara, and it's hard to give literal translations to them. Another aspect of Maseches Nedarim is the style of the Gemara, you'll notice, is a bit different than standard Gemaras. And on the page, the standard Vilna edition, the Gemaras that we're using as we go through the Shas with the Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, you'll notice 4 commentaries that address, generally speaking, address the what we call the Poshit Pshat of the Gemara, the simple meaning of the Gemara. And at times, we're going to see that there are quite a number of different explanations to any given line. We're not going to go through each one of the commentaries. We're going to try to stick most of the time to the Rashi commentary. However, we're going to look liberally into the Ran, who in the Masechta, in this Masechta, occupies the same spot of the page that you would ordinarily find the Tosfos in. There is a Tosfos commentary as well, along with the Rosh commentary. You'll notice in smaller print on the extreme sides of the page. So bear in mind, we'll be, Mirtz Hashem, referring to the different commentaries as we go through the Masechta. We made reference to a pasuk earlier, which is a good pasuk to cite by way of introduction to the Masechta. You'll find this pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Gimel. In Parshas Matos, the beginning of Parshas Matos, it says, Ish ki dor neder l'ashem, oi hishovash vua, les or isor al nafshoi, lo yachel devoroi, kechol hayoytse mipiv yase. A man who vows through a nether or through an oath of a shvua, through which he restricts himself, he shall not violate his words, and he shall adhere or abide accordingly to everything that comes forth from his mouth. Let us continue. Let us now take a look at the Ran commentary by way of introduction. And you'll find this, as we said, in the column that, generally speaking, occupies the where Tosfos would appear. Here you see the Ran. There's a Resh Nun abbreviation at the upper part of the top part of the page. The Mishnah itself opens with the expression Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim v'charomim kacharomim. Kinuyei are alternative expressions to the word neder, so that if a person uses the word nether, it's very clear what he's referring to. There are alternative expressions. What the basis of these alternative expressions are, in fact, is a machloikis in the Gemara. Is it a foreign tongue, basically a translation of the word nether in other languages? And we'll see the Gemara will give examples of kinuyim. Or is it a language invented by the Rabbonon in order for you not to use the word neder? And we'll explain later why that would be. There are other forms of vows that include charomim and shvus. But before we go through the Mishnah itself, let us, as we say, start with the Ran, who presents an introduction to these topics. And on the top line, Kol kinuyei nedarim, neder hu be'echod mishnei inyonim. The topic of neder, of vow taking, is manifest in one of two areas. Number one, im nidre hektish shumaktish lebedek habayis ol mizbeach. One area might be a vow where one wants to make a dedication to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Temple Repair Fund, which is called the Bedek Habayis, or Lemizbeach, an actual animal offering to the altar. Ubeinyan ze eino yochol lahakdish elo ma shehu sheloi. A person cannot sanctify something through his vow unless it's something he owns. The isuro koleo kol adam. And another aspect of it, in addition to it being only something that he owns, when you sanctify the item, that item becomes prohibited to everybody across the boards. Oy nidre isor. There's another type of vow that has to do with restrictions. Sha'osar al atzmo dvorim hamutorim. Where a person restricted upon himself things that are otherwise allowed. Ubinyin ze yocholes or afilu nichse chaveru olav. In this area, a person can prohibit articles that don't belong to him. In other words, a person can forbid upon himself his friend's items. The ein isuro shove lakol, and the restriction is personal. It doesn't relate to others. It's not an equal restriction to everybody. Umaseches zu hi beinyin nidrei isur. This masechta is the second category. This masechta, the masechta we're beginning, Maseches Nedarim, deals with that second category. Shema sheshona kan charomim kecharomim. The Mishnah in its second example says that the kinuye charomim are like charomim. That word cherem, haynu mishum shaloshon cherem, kishem shu kolel cherme berek habayis, kahu kolel nidre isur. The word cherem, just like it can refer to, it's a term that indicates a dedication to the temple repair fund, it also has relevance to personal restriction vows. Kidisnan lekamon hareini olecho cherem. The use of that word, if a person would say that, so what's the result of saying hareini olecho cherem? Hamudar osur. That means that the subject is going to be prohibited. That means if A says to Mr. B, hareini olecho cherem, that means that Mr. B cannot benefit from Mr. A. Another expression might be harei at olai cherem, you are upon me a cherem. What does that mean? What is the result? Hamadir osur, the speaker is forbidden. In our example before, Mr. A then cannot benefit from Mr. B. Umishum hai gavno, and it's because of that case or that way, tono charomim hocha. That's why the word charomim appears over here. Deilu cherme benek habayis lo shaychi b'ayim masechta lebeseder kodshim. If a person wants to dedicate something to the temple repair fund by using the word cherem, that has no relevance to our masechta, but rather it's appropriate for the order of the Shas called Seder Kodshim. The order, the fifth order of the Shas, the fifth of the sixth orders that deals with Beis HaMikdash related matters. V'nidrei Isur heim be'echod mishloisha drachim. In order for one to restrict himself through Neder, that's accomplished through one of three ways. Ikur HaNeder, the authentic or the original primary form of neder, of vow taking, the kinuyov and the yodos. Kinuyov are those alternative expressions, and yodos are in effect partial expressions. And these are topics that will be of immediate interest to us. So we continue with the Ran. Ikur haneder, you can see the way we've marked off the Ran. We've used a double underline, you can see, and numbering. So if number one is Ikur HaNeder, on the third wide line, you can see the Kinuyov, and in the wide lines, at the end of the middle of the wide lines, you can see number three. Ikur HaNeder hu, sheyoymar dovor ze osur olai. If a person says that, referring to a specific item, he says that this thing is osur unto me. Ubein shit pisoi bedover acher, ubein shaloid pisu zehu neder omer betora. Whether he compares, the term hit piso is a very common expression in this topic. It has to do with attaching the item or comparing it to something else. For example, a person, let us say he wants to refrain from using a particular item, a fork. So he says that this fork is usur upon me. He might say this fork is usur upon me like a sacrifice, like a korban. That would be hitpisu bedavar acher. And even if he doesn't say that, he simply says this item is usur unto me. Zehu neder amur b'torah. That's the standard neder that you find in the Torah. Elo dehecha shepiso bo inon shapisenu bedavar hanoder. If you are going to attach the item that you're prohibiting upon yourself and compare it to something else, then you had better compare it accurately. You'd have to compare it to something else that you, or that is made usur by others or by yourself. V'lo bedover ha'usur, but not to compare, let us, the item. We use the example of a fork. If a person says that this fork is is to be prohibited to me like pig meat. That would not be a neder that binds you on a Torah level. As the Gemara says in Maseches Shavuos, my taima, why is that? That when you are comparing your new vow to something else, it has to be something that's called a dover hanodur, something that is made prohibited by people, not something that's pre-forbidden by the Torah. The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ki yidor neder l'Hashem, and from that we learn, Ad sheyodur bedover hanodur, that your vow has to be in comparing the new item that you want to prohibit it to something that itself was made forbidden by a speaker. Klomar, shafopi, sheneder chal below hatfasa. There's a little irony over here. And that is that a neder will be binding even if you don't compare it to something that we'll call the short form. That's binding. Afilu hachi imit piso, however, even so, if you are going to be matpis the item that you're prohibiting in something else, you're going to be comparing it to something else, there, now you have to be very careful. You have to compare it to something that you may have made osur, someone else had made osur, but not something that had been banned by the Torah. Something that's banned by the Torah is not something that I made osur, or that someone else had made osur. It's something that is, we'll say, pre-forbidden. Hilkoch, hechos shitvis vom arei kikozo like korban. If a person says, I want this loaf to be upon me like a sacrifice, chayil nidre, that neder becomes binding, v'ikur neder huzeh. And that's the original, authentic, formal type vow. Why is that? Because you're comparing the loaf, the kikar that you want to refrain from eating, to a korban, to a sacrifice. A sacrifice is usually an animal that was otherwise allowed, and someone had dedicated it to the base of each. They had made the animal forbidden. So what we've discussed till now is called the ikar neder, the basic form of vow making. The kinuyav, hu shebim koim korban. The kinui, an example of a kinui, is instead of saying the word korban, yomar konam, or koneach, or kones. So that if you use the example we had on earlier on this line, hare kikor ze olai koinam, that would be a kinui neder. Again, the word konam is an alternative expression for the word korban. Likewise, the word koneach and the word kones. V'chol shomar kein areyu osur kilu omar korban olai kikor zeh. If he would say konam olai kikor zeh, it's like he says konam, or says korban olai kikor zeh, meaning that this loaf is upon me like a sacrifice. V'hainu disnan, and that's what our Mishnah means when it says kol kinuyei nedorim kinedorim. Ubahani kinuyim pligi Reb Yochanan v'Reish Lakish baGemara. Within the Gemara itself, we'll see a disagreement between Reb Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. Reb Yochanan Amar Loshen Nochrim Heim. Reb Yochanan says that these words like konam or koneach or kones, these are Loshen Nochrim. These are words from foreign speakers, from other Nochrim, as opposed to Lashon HaKodesh, as opposed to the holy tongue, Lashon Nochrim can be foreign tongues. Very simply, these are words referring to a korban in other languages. For Reish Lakish Amar Lashon Shebodu Lahem Chacham Lios Nodrim Bo. Reish Lakish says, these aren't real words. These are made up words. These are invented words by the Chachamim exclusively for the purpose of vow taking. Ula Rabbi Yochanan Diyamar Loshen Nochrim Heim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that those words, these kinui words, and here we have three examples of kinuim, that they are, according to Rabbi Yochanan, translations of the word carbon. Vaday Yonodu Behem Kenodir Beikru Carbon Shenadorm Ner Morim Heim B'chol Loshen. Vowing using those words is a full-fledged vow, just like had he used the word korban. And the reason for it being a full-fledged vow is because vows are an example of things that can be said in any tongue. They're not in the category of things that must be recited in Hebrew, per se. V'afilu l'reish lokish nami v'yomar shem loshen shebodu lem chachomim. And even according to Reish Lakish, says that they're not translations of the word carbon in foreign tongues, but rather they're rabbinic invented words for this purpose of vow taking. Harehem gam ken kineder gomer mido raisa. According to the Ran, a vow taken in a using a kinui, according to Reish Lakish, is a Torah level obligation. Sharei kohal lishonis einon elo haskomas uma v'uma. A very interesting insight. All other languages that will agree would bind you on a Torah level. What are other languages? As opposed to Hebrew, which is a God-given, divine language, other languages are examples of forms of communication or means of communication that people agreed upon. V'lo goro haskomas chachomim zal mehaskomosam. To say that the rabbis inventing terms would have less impact than the foreign tongues would be incorrect. In other words, just like people all over the world, people, let's say, living in Japan, agreed on a set of words forming the Japanese language, the rabbis got together and agreed that there are certain words that are references to sacrifices. So they're one in the same. Hilkach, havaluhu midoraisa. Therefore, even according to Reish Lakish, the use of kinuyim, which is a rabbinic, these are rabbinic invented words, will bind you on a Torah level. The beginning of Maseches Nozir opens up with the term kinuyim. The kinuyim nazirus is like nazirus, and then the Mishnah goes on to explain examples of yados. Why is that? If you're opening with kinuyim, why do you then jump to explain another form of vow taking? And the Gemara there answers that the Tana, when he opens up with kinuye nazirus, or like nazirus, pasach b'ikru korban, he opens up with the basic form of obligation. The word korban is a catch-all phrase. Sacrifice, it's a means of obligating yourself. V'hadar meforesh yodos, da'asyon lein medrasha. And then the Mishnah explains, in giving examples, it gives examples first of yodos, because they are derived through scriptural exegesis. Alma, we see the lukli alma kinuim deraisa lechivela korban. According to everyone, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, kinuyim and the violation thereof would be a Torah level violation, and when one violates a vow, he has to bring a sacrifice for atonement purposes. So that if we're obligating you to bring a sacrifice, it means that you violated something that exists on a Torah level. If it were so, that according to Reish Lakish, because he says that the kinuyim are rabbinic invented expressions that wouldn't, and it wouldn't lead to a sacrificial obligation. The Gemara there in Shavuos in Maseches Nozir should have said, Honi cholamando amar kinuyim loshin nochrim hein elamando maloshin shabalim chachomim ayikol lemeimar kida itmar besugin dehacha. The Gemara there should have been sensitive to a distinction between the approach of Rabbi Yochanan Loshen Nochrim versus the approach of Reish Lakish, but the Gemara there doesn't make any distinction. Here, and we haven't learned the Gemara yet, but the Gemara will present a discussion using that distinction. Elavadai mashma de l'chulei almo kinuyin deraisa. So the Ran understands that based on the Gemara in Maseches Nozir, that when it comes to kinuyim and their level of obligation, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will agree that it is deraisa. And we saw that we pointed out that the nafka mina, by calling it deraisa, the practical outcome of that is that one who violates the vow will have to bring a sacrifice. Sacrifices are brought only when there is a Torah level violation, not when one violates something that's rabbinic. The ikol meidak, the Rabbi Yochanan Amar Loshen Nochem Hein. There is what to analyze within Rabbi Yochanan, who said it's a foreign tongue, a translation of the word sacrifice. My shna de porish hanoch lishni de kainim kaineach kainim tfei mishar lishni. Why does the Mishnah later on daf yud spell out these words? There are many languages in the world. These are three words, even if you say they're from three different languages, why are only these specified more than other languages? Lishni, Mishar Lishni, that is, more than other Lishonis, Lema, Hanoider B'chol Lashon Nidro Neder. According to Rabbi Yochanan, wouldn't it have been appropriate to say that one who vows in any language, his vow is binding? Commentary of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chisdoi, a very interesting angle to things, that once you say that kinuyim are binding, you don't have to use an official foreign language. In other words, you don't have to open up a Japanese Webster's dictionary to look up the word sacrifice, korban, in Japanese. Of course that will be binding, but you don't even have to go that far. These words are actually, they're corrupted Hebrew words for the word korban. You can see they all begin with the word kuf. They're retaining a vestige of what the original Hebrew word was. But these are aberrations or corrupted word, Hebrew words. I would have thought, since it's not here nor there, it's not Japanese, it's not Russian, and it's not English, it's a corruption word, it's not Hebrew either. So I would have thought that the neder is not binding. Kevon Shenon Loshen Gomer Bifnei Atzmo, since they're not official, it's not an official word for sacrifice in another language, but rather it's a corrupted Hebrew word. Komash Malon, the Kevon Shanochrim Medabrim Bohem, Afapi Sheenom Iikr Loshenom, Elomishibu Shubiyodom, since there are people, there are Gentiles that use these words, even though it's not an original Russian word or an original Japanese word, but rather it's a corrupt form, maybe something like slang that we use today. Harehu neder gomor, v'kol shekein shal lishonos anochrim, and we're saying in our Mishnah that it's a nevertheless a fully binding type of vow. And certainly other languages that the Gentiles converse in. They're like the word Mechane Shem Chaver has to do with a nickname that you call your friend. So it's not the official word for sacrifice, it's a slang expression for sacrifice. And Elu Haim Kinuyoi Nidaram. These are examples of those corrupt forms of the word korban. And we saw them already. Kainem Koneach Kones. Fiyodas Nidaram, who? What is that? That's the another form of vow taking. Shemaschu b'miksas diburos shel neder elashenu gomer oso. He starts with a phrase that is, let's say, a vow-oriented phrase, but he doesn't complete the phrase. The partial expression that he uses is as if he used a complete expression. The word yad literally is a hand, but it also can mean a handle. Notice the word handle in English is based on the word hand. It's a phenomenon where you're holding, in effect, only a part of the vessel. It's not, you're not holding the actual vessel, just a handle of it. And by holding on the handle, you're able to move the whole vessel around. So too, when it comes to verbalizing things. There are times that even a partial phrase is fully binding. Common mefarshim liyados, and later examples of yados will be featured. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim. We explained already what kinuyim are. The charamim kecharamim. That means the kinuyim of charamim would also be binding. There's a commentary of the Rush on this. You'll notice the Rush on the right-hand side of the page, in the first third of the Rush commentary, v'charamim kecharamim. Cherim odam shehichrim nechoram, or cherim odam shehichrim nechosav o miksosav yom arezeh, or elu cherim. Person looking at his items, his property, and he referred to either all of it or part of it, and said, these are cherim. That is an example of a cherim. There are two categories of charamim. There are those that result in something becoming dedicated. Gavoa means to on high, meaning to the Almighty, in the Beis HaMikdash. There's another cherim that's called cherme kehanim. Cherme gavoa leberek habayis. Cherme gavoa is a dedication to the temple repair fund, and use of it would result in mi'ila, the prohibition of using dedicated items, and they can be redeemed. Cherme kehanim, when you make a cherim, cherim zela kain, if you say something like that, ein l'impidia ela nitnum l'kehanim, the item cannot be redeemed, but is given as is to a kain. V'yachelo boli day kehanim, malin bohen, and before the kohen takes possession of the item that you dedicated to the kohen, there would be an isur mi'ilo. Once the kohen takes possession of it, it becomes like a common item. There's a machlokas concerning a person who says, let us say, kikar zu cherem. Does that mean he's dedicating it to the temple repair fund, or does that mean he's dedicating it to kehanim? That is what we say, that's a machlokes. The Mishnah continues with a third example, kol kinuyei b'shvuas kishvuas, unezirus kinezirus. What the difference between a neder and a shvua is, That's a discussion unto itself. A neder is a vow that is, we'll say, item focused. A shvua is an oath that is person focused. So there is a difference between a person saying that he will not eat bread versus someone that says, this loaf of bread is forbidden unto me. The former, where a person had said, I will not eat bread. If a person were to say that with a vow intention, the person is the focus. The person is not to consume any bread. That's a shvua. A neder is where it's item focused. This loaf is usur unto me. And the fourth example of kinuyim applies to nazirus, and therefore kinuye nazirus kinazirus. If a person would accept upon himself a nazirateship using a kinuy of the word nazirus, it would also be binding. So the Mishnah, in opening up, it sets up a rule. It doesn't give you examples of what kinuyim are. We said that appears actually later on Daf Yud. But the Mishnah gives a rule that the kinuyim of any of these categories of vow taking are binding, as an original vow expression would be binding. The Mishnah now goes on, and it gives examples of something else. It doesn't give examples of kinuyim, and it doesn't even tell you about the existence of this other phenomenon. It just gives examples. Ha'omer lechavero, mudurani mimeich, mufrashani mimeich, meruchakani mimeich, shani ochaloch, shani toyim loch, also. If a person were to say, mudurani mimeich, she'ani ochaloch, or mufrashani mimcha shani toyen loch, those are binding expressions. The way we presented it just now is one of the approaches the Gemara will take. The simplest approach here would simply be if a person said mudrani mimech or she'ani oichel loch, partial expression. Nevertheless, it's binding. Menude ani loch, Rabbi Akiva yechoychich bozeh lahachmir. If a person uses this expression, menude ani loch, Rabbi Akiva took the opinion that one should be stringent with that. To say that Rabbi Akiva holds it is definitely forbidden, that we cannot say, and the Gemara will discuss this later on Daf Zion. We now turn to Omid Beis, the top of Omid Beis, the beginning of the Gemara. Kol kinuye nedorim kinedorim. Of course, as you can see, a quote from our Mishnah. Maishna gabi nozir, de lo kotoni lehu lekulhu. What is different about our Masechta from Maseches Nozir, the next Masechta, that all of the details that we see in our Mishnah are not mentioned over there. Umaishna gabi nedorim de kotoni lekulhu. And in our Masechta, so all of the examples are mentioned. We take a look at the Rashi at the top. Maishno gabi nozir de lo katoni lekulhu, de hasam katoni. There at the beginning of Maseches Nozir, it says, kol kinuye nezirus kinezirus. The sulo midi, and that's it. For lo katoni lechol hani de nedorim, shvuas. Our Mishnah listed four different situations where you find kinuyim. At the beginning of Maseches Nozir, you only had reference to Nazirus. The Gemara answers, Mishum, de neder ushvua ksivi gabi hadodi, toni tartin. When you look in the psukim, the Torah, you find that shvua is taught along with neder. Interestingly, Rashi and the Ran present different psukim that express this idea. Rashi quotes the pasuk kol neder v'chol shvuas isar, and the Ran quotes the pasuk ki yidor neder l'Hashem o hishova shvua. Either way, you see that along with neder you find the word shvua, and that motivated our Mishnah to teach shvua along with neder. So since they are found in the scriptures together, so toni tartin, they both are taught in the oral law here in the Mishnah. The cave of the Toni Tartin, Toni Lekulhu. And once you get on the roll, you teach two, you teach them all. And that's why we threw in here Charomim as well, and as well as Nazirus. Question. Velisni Kinuyei Shvuas Bosar Nedarim. If you look at our Mishnah, what do you notice? The Mishnah opens up with Kol Kinuyei Nedarim Kinedarim, and then it goes to Haramim. It doesn't mention Shvuas right after Nedarim, but in the Pasuk, Shvuas is mentioned right after Nedarim. So why not be consistent with the order of the Pasuk? The Gemara answers, Aidi detona nedarim de mitzar chetza alei. Since we open up with nedarim, and as we explained in our introduction, in a neder, you are banning an item from yourself. The focus is on the item, where that's called mitzar, you forbid, chetza, the item, on yourself. Tona nami charomim de mitzar chetza alei. Likewise, you find that when you're dealing with the realm of charomim, where you're banning, you're forbidding an item on yourself. Lafuke shvua, to the exclusion of shvua, de ka'osar nafshei min chetza. In the case of shvua, as we indicated earlier, the emphasis is on the person, where you're saying, I will not do such and such. We should point out, there's a comment made later on Daf Ches Amud Aleph in the Ran, which you'll find on the second of the wide lines under the Gemara. The Ran says, Kidashkan beduchti tuva dekori lei lishvua neder. Though we are giving strict definitions right now, when you go through these masechtas, Nedarim and Nazir and Shvuas, you will find that the terms are used interchangeably. So even though here we're giving you original textbook definitions, don't be surprised that if you see something where the person is focusing on himself in making the declaration, which would technically be a shvua, we'll refer to it as a neder. But in the meantime, we're sticking right now with strict definitions. So the reason that cherem follows neder is because both of them focus on the item, where the person says that this particular item is forbidden unto me, using the expression of neder or the lashon, the expression of cherem. We continue in the Gemara. The Gemara here has a question. At last, you can see three lines. There are two parts to the question, two questions in one, if you will. The Gemara asks, Pasach Bikinuyim, the Mishnah structure is a little perplexing. It opens up with a rule concerning Kinuyim, called Kinuyei Nedarim. And the Mishnah said, all Kinuyei Nedarim are like actual Nedarim. Did you see any examples of a kinui in our Mishnah? No. And then the Mishnah goes on, is umeforesh yodos. And then it gives examples of yodos. Ha'oimer l'chavero mudar ani mimcha. That is a partial expression, and it's binding. Vesu yodos inshi? Has the Mishnah forgotten? The word inshi means forgot. Did the Mishnah forget to mention a rule concerning yodos, that namely that yodos of nedarim are like nedarim? That you didn't see in our Mishnah text. So that we have a strange situation. You're giving me a rule about kinuyim and then giving me examples of something that's different, that's not related. And you didn't even mention in the Mishnah that there is such a thing as yodos. There's a Rashi across from here, Vesu. Akati iko lemifrach yodos inshi. Hechi shochachoma tano delokotoni viyodos nedarim kinedarim. How could the Tana forget to say the rule that the yodos of nedarim, that partial phrases can actually be binding? The Gemara answers, and the structure of this answer is, we're going to give an answer to question number two. And the Gemara answers, Airi Bahon. That means that the Mishnah does speak about the rule concerning Yodos. Now, bear in mind, the Mishnah is the oral law that was written down at the end of the Tanaic period. It was committed to writing by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. The fact that we have these specific words that constitute our Mishnah, as is printed on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, doesn't mean that that's the entire Mishnah. And the Gemara goes on to say, V'chisurei mechasra v'hochi katoni. As the Mishnah was presented, it was presented in an abbreviated fashion. The word chisurei mechasra means that words were left out from the written text of the Mishnah. V'hochi katoni. And thusly is what the Mishnah is really saying. Kol kinui nedarim kinedarim, v'yados nedarim kinedarim. So that it's part of the oral tradition, along with the statement of Kinuyin Nedarim are like Nedarim, it is also so that the Yodos Nedarim are like Nedarim. And we look at Rashi, Airi Bahu, the Vadai Lo Shachach Lehu Liyodos. It wasn't forgotten. The Chisuri Mechasra, the Mishnah as we have it in our text, was left deliberately abbreviated. You'll ask, why would you, if you're writing something down, why do you leave it abbreviated? The answer to that may lie in the fact that originally the oral tradition was supposed to be exactly that, oral. And people would have to work very hard to commit things to memory. It came to a point where things were being forgotten, and Eis lasos l'shem eferu terasecha. There's a pasuk that's quoted that sometimes we have to do things in order to preserve the Torah, that in doing so we're actually violating certain mitzvahs. You're not allowed, technically speaking, to write down the oral tradition, but if you wouldn't do it, it would all be forgotten, there'd be nothing left, so we compromised on that and wrote down. But we nevertheless want to maintain, we don't want to write out everything, spell everything out. We want to maintain some element of the oral aspect to things. So the Mishnah didn't forget, it just left it as part of the oral tradition. What about the question number one? Once you open up with the rule concerning kinuyim, why don't you give us examples of kinuyim immediately? The lifroish kinuyim bereisha, the Gemara answers, Hahu the solik minei, hahu meforish bereisha. The Mishnah opened up with two rules in effect, namely kinuyim nedarim like nedarim, and the oral aspect, namely yados nedarim kinedarim. So the structure is, if you wanted to put it into a formula, it would be 1-2, and now as far as explanations of those things, 2-1, so that having stated in an oral fashion the rule that yodos nedarim kinedarim, the last point that was mentioned in rule form is the first point to be explained. And that's what the line that we read means. We'll now translate it again. Hahu desolik minei, that which you just finished speaking about, namely yodos. Hahu meforish bereisha, that is what is to be explained first. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take note of the structural element of our Gemara. On the side, we have a mivne, a structural note. The diamond appears, and the note reads, the diamond features shnei tshuvos, two responses. Loma Mishnah Pirsha Yodos Rishon. Why does the Mishnah explain Yodos initially? And now we have a tatnose, it means a subtopic heading. The note reads on the side of the Gemara. By the way, if you want to access our marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So in our note, we've written Mivnim Shonim Shel Mishnayos. There are different Mishnah structures. Hahu de Pasach Bereisha Meforish Rishon. Hahu de Siyem Horashima Mavur Rishon. There are Mishnayos that have structures that the opening rule or opening point will be explained when the explanation section of the Mishnah appears. The opening rule will be the first to be explained. And there are others like our Mishnah, and that's what we're working with right now, that the second point, or the last point to be featured, is the first point to be explained. So now, the Gemara uses that as the answer for our Mishnah. Hahu, and we read this already, Hahu desolik minei, Hahu meforish bereisha. Note that we have a long answer marking. And what we see now, kidisnan, we see precedent for this. What we'll be seeing in this framed section and in the next framed section, a number of different Tanaic sources that are taught in very abbreviated fashions. We don't have to delve into explaining all the different Mishnayos that will be quoted within these framed sections. All we really have to focus on is the structure of each one of the Mishnayos. So we'll maybe translate a word or two here or there, even if the topic that is featured here is not familiar to you, that isn't of major concern to us right now. So we have a Mishnah in the second perek of Masechet Shabbos, might be familiar to many of you. Bameh madlikin uvamo ein madlikin. What are materials that you're allowed to use for lighting candles on Shabbos, and which materials are you not allowed to use? And so you have. The Mishnah opens with 2 points. What are you allowed, yes, to light with, and what not? And what is the first point to be explained? Ein madlikin. The second point is the first thing to be explained in detail. So you have that structure that we mentioned before. 1, 2, 2, 1. And another Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. Bameh toimnin uvamo ein toimnin. Toimnin has to do with insulating pots containing hot food on Shabbos. There are different materials, and it says what materials can you use and which materials can you not use. Ein toimnin, and then it goes on to explain the second point that was mentioned at the opening of the Mishnah. So again, you have the structure of 1, 2, 2, 1. And another perek in Masechet Shabbos, it says Bamei Isha Yoytza Uvamo Eino Yoytza Lo Teitze Isha, etc. What ornaments or jewelry is a woman allowed to wear out on Shabbos, wear from a private domain into a public domain? Which items are forbidden? So you have, again, you have 2 opening points, and the first point to be addressed is the second of the opening points. Lo Teitze Isha, the things that she should not wear outdoors are explained first. The Gemara asks, and here is a long question, basically taking in another long Tanaic source citation. I say it's long, but it really contains numerous different Mishnayos where you see a structure. A challenge to what we just answered. We just answered that and in order to defend or explain our Mishnah, why the Mishnah, when explaining the points, it explains the second of the opening points first, indicating that you find Mishnayos have a 1-2-2-1 structure. We're going to challenge that now. The Chol Hecha de Pasach lo meforish bereishav. And where Mishnayos open with a particular point, are those opening points not the first ones to be explained? We find that they are. The Hatnan. We have the following. Notice where there are 5 examples in this source, but all designed to communicate the same idea. The Mishnah in the 8th parak of Bava Basra says, Yesh neuchlin manchilin. These deal with laws of inheritance, who bequeaths and who inherits. There are several categories. There are those that are nochlin u'manchilin, those that inherit and also bequeath. There are nochlin v'lo manchilin, v'elu nochlin u'manchilin. So notice the first point that was mentioned was those that are nochil and manchil, and the first one to be explained is those that are nochil and manchil. Now, if you use our formula, that would be a 1-2-1-2 structure. And that's not like our Mishnah. Yesh mutaros lebalein v'asuros livehem. This has to do with the laws of marriage, and specifically the realm of Yibum. Yibum is where a person died leaving no children, and there was a surviving brother. So there are situations where ladies are mutar to their husbands, and they are forbidden to the Yavam. Mutaros livehem v'asuros livehem. V'elu mutaros lebalein v'asuros livehem. Notice, again, you have an opening rule of mutaros lebalein v'asuros livehem, and as far as the explanation of those, that's what is that's what leads off the list of explanations. Yesh tuna shem levona, shem v'lo levona. The Mishnah here from Maseches Menachos deals with different types of meal offerings. There are those that require oil and the levona spice, and there's those that require shemen and not levona. V'elu tuunos shemen ulevona, and it opens up again with an example of the opening of the rules, 1-2-2-1 structure. Yesh, this is a fourth Tanaic example dealing again with meal offerings and the mitzvah of bringing the meal offering to the corner of the mizbeach. Yesh tuunos hagosha v'ein tuunos tenufa. There are those that require hagosha and don't require tenufa. That has to do with waving the meal offering. Tenufa v'lo hagosha. There are those that require tenufa and don't require hagosha. V'elu tuunos hagosha. Number 5. Yesh b'chor l'nachlo v'ein b'chor l'kayin. There are those that will be considered a b'chor, a firstborn for inheritance purposes, but not a b'chor with regard to needing redemption, as is the case of Pidyon HaBen. And there are b'chor l'kayin v'ein b'chor l'nachlo. There are those that are in need of redemption, but they're not firstborn with regard to receiving a double portion. So we have the Mishnah opened up with those people that are b'chor l'nachlo and not b'chor l'kayin. And then in explaining that, the various rules, it explains the first rule first. So that if that's the case, then why did our Mishnah not say, in its example giving, give us examples immediately of that which it opened up with? It opened up with kinuye nedarim, being like nedarim. So let's hear examples of kinuyim before you get to the examples concerning the yados. The Gemara answers, halin mishum da avshu le meforesh ahu de pasuk bereisha. So in Rashi, a few lines up from here, halin pasuk bereisha, examples that were cited first is mishum da'avshu lei kotani. D'yeshlocha manchilin nefishin mehani delo manchilin. It opens up with the larger group of people, as there are those that inherit nochlin umanchilin. So those are more numerous than those that are nochel and not manchil. V'chein kol hani mishum hochi meforish lu la'alter. And likewise with the other examples. Afagav de posach bu bereisha, avol hocha gabi nedorem v'chein bameh madlikin delo nefishi. In our mission and the example of bameh madlikin, where you don't have a very large number of examples, ho de solik minei posach bereisha. There, the second of the rules to be presented is the first one to be explained. We turn back to the Gemara. V'ha bameh behema yoytza v'ma ina yoytza. This is a Mishnah also in Shabbos dealing with animals and what they can walk outside from one domain to another while wearing upon them and what items not. The lo afsha, there aren't many examples. The katani, and nevertheless it explains that which it opened up with first. It says yoytze gomol, and it goes on to give examples of what a gomol is able to go from with while wearing from one domain to another. Therefore, you see that this answer of Avshil Mefarsh is not going to suffice. We continue at the top of Gimel and Aleph. Elo Lav Dafka. As far as Mishnah structure is concerned, it's not, again, we're dealing with structure here. We're not dealing with content, but Mishnah structure is something that is not, we'll call it, it's not an exact science. It's not consistent. The Gemara goes on to explain. Zimnin Meforeshu the Pasach Bereshav, Zimnin Dahu the Solit Meforesh Bereshav. Sometimes the Mishnah, in giving examples, will give examples to the first item mentioned in the rule section of the Mishnah, and sometimes Mishnayos will pick up with the last thing that was mentioned. As far as rules, we'll pick up in giving examples of that last point. First, V'iboy Esema, another hesper, another explanation of why Yados was explained first, and that's why we have a second diamond here. This is a second explanation of why Yados was explained first. Yados Aidi de Asion Midrasha Meforesh Lehu Bereisha. Since Yados are derived through scriptural expansion, that's called drushes of psukim, therefore it is given primacy. The liftach hodein bereisha. Why not then open up in the rule giving of the Mishnah with Yados? Namely, you start the Mishnah by saying, Kol Yodos Nidarim Kinidarim, and then go on to talk about Kinuye Nidarim Kinidarim. The Gemara answers, Miftach Pasach B'Kinuyim. The Mishnah opted to open up with Kinuyim, De'oraisa Bereisha, because Kinuyim are from the Torah. We explained earlier, the Kinuyim are translations of the word Korban, so they have a Doraisa level impact. The Hoder Meforesh Yados the Asyon Le Midrasha. And then it gives examples of Yados which are derived through scriptural expansion. Well, this approach, Honicho Lamadam or Kinuyim Lashon Nochrim Hein, to suggest that Kinuyim are De'oraisa, that's assuming that Kinuyim are translations into other tongues of a Korban. Elo Lamandam or Loshon Shebodlim Chachom Lius Noider Boi, but according to the approach that says that Kinuyim are really rabbinically invented words, but not translations of the word Korban, but they're rabbinically invented words for a person to vow with. My Ikol Meimar. So then, how are you going to explain the fact that the Mishnah opens up its giving of examples with something that is that we wouldn't be able to call Doraisa, something that you're calling Loshon Shebodlim Chachamim? The Gemara answers, Mikotoni Yados. Does the Mishnah give us a rule concerning Yados? The Mishnah didn't give us a rule concerning Yados in terms of the text of the Mishnah. The Lav Chisuri Komachasris Law. Is it not so that we pointed out the Mishnah was deliberately abbreviated? Well, and therefore you can't bind yourself to the text as it is literally. Therefore, Aktim Nami Vitani Yados. Place the rule concerning Yados, in fact, at the beginning. So according to the Manda Omar, that Kinuyim is not something that we would call De'oraisa, and Yados is something that's derived through scriptural expansion, so then Yados should be taught as at the opening of the Mishnah, and it would read as follows: Kol Yados Nidarim Kinidarim, V'chol Kinuyei Nidarim Kinidarim. obviously would have to change the name of the perek then. Instead of Kol Kiriye, we would call Yodos. And then the Abelhain Yodos, Ha'oimer L'chavero, etc. The Elohim Kinuyim Kineim Kineach Kones. That would be the structure of the Mishnah. Once you, according to approach number two, that the Mishnah has an internal structure, as opposed to basing it like answer number one did, trying to compare our Mishnah to Mishnah structure that you find elsewhere. Approach number two says, look at the topic of Nidorim itself. And since we pointed out that the Mishnah was really chaser, that means we have latitude in which to, we'll say, navigate and present the Mishnah. And since Kinuyim is on a lower level, it's something that was invented by the rabbis, Yodos being something that's derived from Sukkim, Yodos is taught first, not only at the opening of the Mishnah, but also in terms of the examples that the Mishnah presents or provides. The Gemara will continue in Mirza Shem next time discussing the source for Yodos. We just mentioned that Yodos are Asyan Midrasha on the third line from the top. Where is the basis of that Drasha? But before we conclude, let us once again remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.